is that player talking about the difference from his rookie year last year going into this year?
Any guesses? Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper is absolutely correct.
Up with it.
Hey, circle gets the square. Yeah. Well done, Nate. Good year. That's Amari Cooper going into his sophomore season for your Oakland Raiders. Mike Florio will join us in 5 minutes to talk all things NFL training camp. Obviously, a big focus on your Raiders and your Niners. Also a big focus, though, Mike Florio probably won't comment on the Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival. August 19th, California Museum. Step back in time. Enjoy an opulent party reminiscent of the Great Gatsby era. Some people say it was a mediocre Gatsby era, but they call it great. Samplings of the finest whiskeys, wines, and
title spirits. Didn't sell quite as well as the publisher.
Exactly. It was the okay Gatsby era. You get live entertainment, delicious bites from some of Sacramento's premier restaurants. Purchase your tickets at khdk.com. I was looking at ye old schedule because the three of us will be out there visiting. That's the official start of my vacation.
When is this?
That's August 19th.
Yeah, you keep saying that we're all going, and I keep telling you every single time that I'm going to be out of town that day.
What? I haven't heard that either.
I have told you guys, this just proves that you do not listen to a thing that I say.
So you're going
to
be gone Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week, correct?
Yes, I am.
Then you're going out of town for the Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival.
I'm not missing work,
I'm just saying, that day. I mean, you're new to the station. How many weeks do they give you?
I'm not missing work.
I want
on
your
Friday.
Agent. I'm just saying. I just, right?
You know what? They pay me in nickels and dimes and throw in some vacation time.
Wow. You hear that, Kevin, in the other room? Katie says she's underpaid. Wow. It's already starting. Not even 4 months into the show.
Wow, Dave.
Maybe Mike Florio's got comments on that. Katie Christensen, unhappy in Sacramento. Wow.
So not true.
Jeez.
You, of all people, do not deserve to sit here and berate either
me or Nate. People think I'm always gone.
No, it's not about
you. I've taken two days this year.
Yes, you do get more vacation.
Two. I do, but I'll take it.
And you also get paid a lot more.
That's unconfirmed.
It is.
We're not adding in your other job.
Your Amazon account.
Don't bring that up. My wife's listening right now. And I used it Saturday night.
Yeah, let's
Move on.
No, let's pull back the curtain on that for a moment.
No.
Dave, what did you use your Amazon account for on Saturday night to have something delivered to your house by midnight?
To buy me cat litter because he knows he gets a better deal on it than I do.
Go ahead. Thank you. If you
I don't say it, I'm going to say it.
What? I don't even remember.
Did you read the book yesterday?
I'm halfway through the new Harry Potter book that I received Saturday at 1 a.m.
So what? Thank you.
I got, you know what? I actually saved money because if you order it Saturday, you get $10 off.
Well, I saw it at Target yesterday.
Yeah.
It was probably cheaper. So you could have gone
Well, you should have bought it there then.
You should. I'm not buying it.
Why?
Because I have other things to read.
Chip Kelly says, or was asked if there was an ideal time limit.
I see how you're conveniently switching subjects.
Listen, training camp's open. Mike Florio's on in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I could provide you a review of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. But I'll save
that
for
really
Wednesday.
What it's called?
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Or is it cursed or cursed?
I don't know. They're not even trying with the titles anymore.
It's really a play. The book is a play.
Oh.
The book is actually written as a play. So it says, like, Harry, this is what he says. Hermione, this is what it's written as it's the play. It's the script from the play.
Now, are those pictures of Harry, or is it images?
I feel like you and text? Matt, because Matt is our resident thespian.
Losing so
here.
Many listeners right now.
Katie, shut the hell up.
I feel like you and Matt need to act out a scene for one of the segments.
We might do that. We could do that at some point.
Yeah.
We'll wait till Kevin Sheritz is on vacation to do that. These glaring daggers right now getting ready to throw stuff at us. Chip Kelly wants to know if there's an ideal time limit to see which of Blaine Gabbert or the other guy, Colin Kaepernick, which one of them will emerge as the victor.
I don't think there is, and I think sometimes if you put a preconceived date on it, it's not fair. And I've been in them before. I just think they express themselves and how they express themselves. I mean, obviously you'd like to get it done sooner rather than later, but you don't want to get it done sooner and then make the wrong decision. So, I think how we train and what we do in the practice fields and then obviously the opportunity to play in preseason games will give us a real good indication, we hope, as we head into the regular season.
Can I translate?
Yes.
It's too early to know. How am I supposed to know?
Well, there's that, yeah.
Neither of these guys are good enough yet.
He's got to keep it open. But he is excited to see Colin Kaepernick.
To express themselves.
Yes.
Express themselves.
Has there...
Isn't that a Madonna song?
Yes, express yourself.
In like these I don't know. In these situations, like preseason quarterback competitions, do you recall a lot of situations off the top of your head where the winner went on to be, I don't know, like an all-pro quarterback?
No, but I'll bet you there have been.
I'm sure there has been. Right, but...
All right, listen, you can check out our new friend Mike Florio, Pro Football Live, from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 3 to 6. I did the math in my head there. Pacific, NBC Sports Radio. Also, Football Night in America and Sunday Night Football on NBC. He is everywhere, and we're very happy to have him on with us. It's Mike Florio. Mike, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys?
Hello. Oh, we're looking for Mike Florio.
Ah.
I'm here.
Mike Florio may not be joining
us
this morning.
Something.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Hey, Mike. Awesome. The button thing, and we had to push it and pull that up.
It's difficult.
Thank you, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I just want to ask you, well, it's kind of a football, but a non-football question. We've all followed you for a long, long time and read your site religiously, watch you on Sunday Night Football. When training camp opens, where would you rank this time period right now as far as busy times of the year for Mike Florio?
Oh, it's definitely busy because it's the first busy time of the year after two or three months where things kind of slow down.
Yeah, it's been about a long time.
So it really exploded over the weekend. Hello.
There you go, Mike. Now we got you. Go ahead. Busy time of year for you.
Busy time of year, but the first busy time on the NFL calendar because things slow down after the draft. So it is hard to come up with stories for a while, and then all of a sudden everything explodes and there's plenty of stuff, and we worked hard this weekend just to keep up with everything, and it's going to be that way, nonstop action, nonstop news, really until the next draft.
Mike Florio joining us. We talked earlier when you were coming on about the matchup, if you will. There's not a lot expected out of the Niners this year, Mike, but really the thing everyone's following, obviously, Kaepernick, who is now quote-unquote healthy, versus Blaine Gabbert. Is this a true open quarterback competition, in your opinion?
Well, look, first of all, it's not necessarily bad to have low expectations. Back in 2011, when the 49ers came within a whisker of the Super Bowl, nobody expected anything out of that team going into the season. Now, big difference between Jim Harbaugh year one and Chip Kelly, potentially, but still, being off the radar screen, having a low bar, not a bad thing. And I think this is a real competition because otherwise you want to get Blaine Gabbert ready if he's the guy. You don't split the reps and dilute the ability of the guy who's going to win the job to be ready. And think of Chip Kelly's first year with the Eagles 3 years ago. Nick Foles and Mike Vick split reps up until really the third preseason game and even beyond. I think Kelly waited as long as possible to name a starter. And we thought it was going to be Gabbert because Kaepernick wasn't involved in the offseason program, but it looks like Kaepernick's going to have a fair shot to catch up, learn the offense, and prove that he can run it better than Blaine Gabbert.
Mike, what do you think, though, with all that said, is a reasonable expectation, I guess, of this 49ers team? It's doom and gloom a lot for the fans, and most of them feel like they don't care if the team's miserable now that they've gotten rid of Jim Harbaugh still 2 years after that. But are they going to be as bad as a lot of fans think they will be?
I think they'll be better, but they're not going to be a playoff contender when you consider the division they're in. The Cardinals are still very good. The Seahawks still have a great young nucleus of elite talent. And the Rams, now look, they're going to have a few strange transition years where they're spread all over Southern California from their practice facility to their stadium, and guys are going to be spending a lot of time on the freeway trying to get from point A to point B, but they have a very good defense, and they have a great young running back in Todd Gurley, and if Jared Goff works out, they could be good. So yeah, they're almost like, and I don't want to say the 49ers are going to be as bad as the Browns, although I think the Browns could be better than we expect, but the 49ers are caught in a very good division, and it's hard to contend when you're assigned two games a year against three very good teams.
Now, Mike, I know that, you know, like Nate just said, and Dave, there's not a whole lot of expectations for the 49ers this year, but there are a lot of expectations when you are a Raiders fan. When you look at the group of guys that they have in there, Derek Carr is proven to be a great quarterback. He's going into just his third season. You've got Khalil Mack. You've got Amari Cooper. When you look at this team and the additions that they have and the progress that they've made, what are you seeing at the beginning of training camp for them and the hopes for their season?
Well, one thing that gets lost in the talk about the great players like Khalil Mack, and a lot of people think he's the best defensive player in the NFL right now, and the development of Derek Carr and Amari Cooper, the depth this team has, that's an area where I've heard the team is very happy, and it's going to manifest itself in the final cuts when every team has to get down to 53 players. The quality of the players that the Raiders have to let go, and those players being signed and claimed on waivers by other teams, that's going to be proof that the Raiders, top to bottom, not just the stars and the young guys who are moving in the right direction, but everybody, better depth than they've had, and that's going to be the key because injuries are inevitable. You need everybody on the roster to step up, and the thinking is this year they have the depth they need to really contend.
Mike Florio joining us, Pro Football Talk, live on NBC Sports Radio, also a Football Night in America, Sunday Night Football on NBC. One of the lead stories you have on Pro Football Talk right now, Mike, is Michael Bennett. He made a call to action a while back, called out a few players, including Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, but sounds like he's walking it back a little bit with Cam Newton.
Yeah, they're trying to clean up this mess, and actually the Seahawks saw the mess coming. They scrubbed from the transcript they sent out the reference to Cam Newton, that Cam Newton needs to do something more than just sit back and collect dollars. And the video of the press conference where Bennett said those things, it actually jumps and skips like 20 seconds of that inflammatory stuff. And I think it's a combination of not wanting to have any gratuitous shots taken at Cam Newton, but also when you say that great players are sitting back taking the dollars like Cam Newton, well, there's a guy in the locker room in Seattle that is taking even more dollars than Cam Newton and is saying nothing. Because Russell Wilson was asked about some of these societal issues on Saturday, and he walked that line as best he possibly could. And I think the Seahawks are trying to take some of the sting out of this as it relates to Newton, because it's not a very long walk to realize Bennett's message at a deeper level was intended for his own quarterback.
Interesting. Mike Florio with us on KHTK. When we first heard the story, Michael, Le'Veon Bell missing a drug test, we have obvious jokes made, whatever. But it sounds like there's a little bit more to that. Do we know why he missed the test? What's the story there that you're hearing?
There hasn't been anything definitive. And look, we shouldn't know any of this. The way it works is a confidentiality provision in the substance abuse policy. No one is supposed to say anything about where a guy stands as it relates to a suspension until the appeal process ends. And what we've heard about Bell is, number one, he's facing a 4-game suspension for missing a drug test. And NFL media, owned and operated by the league, has said it was several drug tests that he missed. Again, we shouldn't know any of this. Now, with that said, I made some calls last week just to, if nothing else, express my displeasure with the fact that this stuff continues to get out and these guys get stigmatized unfairly. And it became clear to me that there's not a whole lot of optimism that he's going to win this. And the best argument I've seen is he got a new phone and they called his old phone. Well, there's got to be a clear obligation on the player to make sure that the NFL has the right number. And unless he can prove he provided the right number and they called the old one accidentally, he's going to have a hard time making that fly.
Mike, Trey Mason has not reported to Rams training camp, and the team is saying they haven't talked to him in months. And, of course, there was the incident where he was pulled over by the cops and a bunch of things transpired from there. Are you hearing anything in terms of what's going on there? I know that the team itself is saying that they're actually very concerned for him on a personal level in terms of some things that have transpired.
Well, he had the issue when he was pulled over, and then he didn't show up for court, and they had to issue an arrest warrant for him, and they eventually tracked him down. But there was an item, I think it was on TMZ last week, that police had been to his house 5 times because family members were concerned about him. There was one time where he was leaving, and they were concerned he was going to get hurt if he left because of his state of mind. So it sounds like there are other issues going on here for which he needs some kind of help. And football, probably a minimal concern right now for Trey Mason. And, you know, there's not much the Rams can do if he's not going to be in touch with them. But hopefully some way, somehow, they'll get this kid the help he needs. And you know, the football career becomes secondary. But hopefully he can get everything in order and continue to pursue football if that's what he wants to do.
they put him on the PUP list as of now because they really don't have an option. But moving forward, I mean, is there, because this is unfortunate for him on a personal level, obviously, but it also puts franchises in a difficult position when you don't really know what's going on. Is there some kind of thing in terms of the communication breakdown and that a player being held responsible for that in any way?
Well, I mean, there's channels that the team can try to work through. They can get the NFLPA to help them out. They can send somebody to try to track Trey Mason down if they choose to. The bottom line is, if you don't report and you're under contract, you're subject to $40,000 per day in fines, and you just sit on that list until you actually show up. And consider this. He plays a position where the supply of competent running backs far outweighs the demand. And at a certain point, the Rams may just say, we just, based upon what we've learned through our security department, we're just going to move on.
Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio on with us right now, talking obviously the NFL, bouncing back to the Oakland Raiders Friday in front of a lot of Raider friends and alumni. Mark Davis gave Reggie McKenzie a 4-year extension. I won't ask you whether or not it's deserved, Mike, but you look at all the teams, all the camps. You talk to a ton of players. Talk a little bit about the change in perception of the Oakland Raiders from 2-3 years ago till now.
Well, I think that there is a change, and Reggie McKenzie has a lot to do with it. Now, Dennis Allen didn't work out as the head coach, and you could argue maybe they were a little hasty with Hugh Jackson, and maybe there would have been a way for Jackson and McKenzie to work together. But with Hugh Jackson paired up with Jack Del Rio, and Del Rio, somebody who really wanted that job, a lifelong Raiders fan, it just feels like a good fit. And it's all about the quality of the players and how you take advantage of the avenues available to improve your team, free agency and the draft, and developing the players that you have. And we see that blend because the Raiders had a lot of money to spend, a lot of money they had to spend this year because they hadn't been spending much in past years, and the CBA requires them and the Jaguars to really overspend this year. They're putting themselves in a position where we look at the Raiders now and we don't say last place. We look at the Raiders and we say maybe first place in the AFC West this year.
Now, Mike, when it comes to Derek Carr, for example, I think this is the year where we find out if he's like a Matt Stafford guy or an Aaron Rodgers guy. And I realize we're talking about two fantastic quarterbacks there, but of those two, only one has the wins to back it up. And I think we're all taking Aaron Rodgers. So I guess my question is, the difference between those two guys, a Matt Stafford and an Aaron Rodgers, is that simply about the personnel they play with, or is there just something about an Aaron Rodgers that takes them to the next level?
Well, wouldn't it be great to swap the two some alternate universe and see what the Lions would have done with Aaron Rodgers and what the Packers would have done with Matthew Stafford? The reality is we focus on the quarterbacks excessively when a team does well, when a team does poorly. And it's so much about what is around him, the quality of the offensive line. And I think Aaron Rodgers much better suited than most quarterbacks to overcome a bad offensive line. And the Packers have had a bad offensive line for more often than not during his career. I don't think Rodgers has gotten the quality of help that he needs, and Stafford hasn't either. And it'll be interesting to see apples to apples, same division. Lions seem to be moving in the right direction. Packers have a greater sense of urgency. And I've said this before, if the Packers had a traditional owner, I don't think that Mike McCarthy would still be the head coach. I just don't, you know, they don't have that one person who can roll out of bed one day and say, I got to get a better coach. It's a board of directors, it's a president, and I think it takes more. And they've done enough to keep McCarthy there. I just think at a certain point, McCarthy's going to take the blame for the failure to get back to the Super Bowl.
Mike, the Vikings are dealing with something that could potentially be very worrisome for them. Adrian Peterson has a slight hamstring pull from workouts a week before camp started. With his age and kind of where he's at, should this be a concern for the Vikings right now?
Well, anytime a guy has a pulled hamstring, it's a concern because you have to be willing to shut him down long enough so it heals. And there's a certain amount of exercise you can do, but there's a threshold. And if you cross it, it tightens up, and then you set back the recovery process. And I think the Vikings will go easy with him. And this is a good opportunity for the rest of the offense to get used to life without Adrian Peterson. And the key is for Teddy Bridgewater to take advantage of those opportunities and step up. So they could find a way to spin this into a positive. Rest Adrian. Let Teddy take control of the offense, because at some point, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be there and Adrian Peterson isn't.
Mike Florio, always full of information. And, Mike, everyone knows they can get you at ProFootballTalk.com. What are some other places where people can catch some of your work?
Well, we got the PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. That's actually on not just 3 to 6 Pacific time, but they replay the whole thing 6 to 9 Pacific time. And the podcast is available, the entire show, every day, all 3 hours. And we're actually, after the Olympics, the final 2 hours of the live show, which will be 4 to 6 a.m. Pacific time, will be on NBCSN leading into Dan Patrick's show. So we're looking forward to that after the Olympics, and off we go.
Man misses nothing when it comes to the NFL. Mike, busy season for you. We appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the year.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. That is Mike Florio. No one better. No one better than Mike Florio. He knows everything about everyone.
And it's just pristine. I think that's the best way to put it. Like, his voice, his everything, it's just pristine. Knowledge, everything. Complete package, that man.
Pro football. We just did the breakdown of Mike Florio. We, like, scouted him right there.
Yes, we did.
All 99s in Madden.
Really strong going to his left.
You don't like that at all, do you, Nate?
No, I'm busy watching the video of DeMarcus Cousins making fun of Draymond Green. You guys seen that
yet? Oh, no.
Okay, so that was what your reaction was. Oh. It wasn't about my comments on Mike Florio.
Is it good audio?
Yeah, no, I don't know if it's audio, actually. It's a video of them at a shooter around, and Draymond's being interviewed on the far side of the court, and DeMarcus is having some fun with his teammates.
He's been having a lot of fun.
By the way, speaking of fun here, the drive poll, I just retweeted it again. Per the Draymond Green news, that he accidentally put his
twig and berries.
Yeah, that. His
it was really just the twig.
Yeah. His Draymond's man saber is out on Snapchat. And this is an anonymous poll, by the way. We asked, have you ever sent a naughty picture via the internet?
Or text message.
Social media, text message, etc. I even put that in there.
People don't always read.
331 votes so far. 63%. It's coming down from 70. 63% say no.
Because we're shaming people that...
There's no shame.
No, we're shaming the liars.
Oh.
We don't believe that.
We don't believe it for a second. 100% of the people on this show have. So, the internal poll. Never mind. I'm getting away from that. I don't know. We'll talk a bit about what Mike Florio said. A lot of stuff to cover there. We've got some sound from around the NFL. And also some advice that might be important if you're an Olympian, from a 16-month-long study commissioned by the Associated Press. They've come up with some advice if you're a swimmer.
Very important.
Very important. We'll tell you what it is next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Remember that played after every Giants win. Also, Michael Bisping's entrance music for the UFC.
Oh.
Coming up in the next segment. Didn't want to step on that. You get a pair of tickets, or the opportunity to get a pair of tickets to see tonight, The Godfather, 6:30, Studio Movie Grill in Rockland. Come hang out with us. Hang out with Katie Christensen and her freshly, what are you doing, filed nails?
Waxed legs.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. Well, we don't know about that. Learn more about the later the in-theater dining experience at StudioMovieGrill.com. Something tells me that'll be happening on, I'd say, Tuesday morning. StudioMovieGrill.com for more information.
Dates with Katie's.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey.
I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
You keep selling it like it's have a date with Katie.
Well, yeah.
You guys are going to be there, too.
Yeah, but we're not the top story. You are.
You don't know that.
But it's safer if we make that clear.
Well, we're going to be there. So, I mean, whether or not they can have whatever ideas they want, we'll be there.
I think if, you know.
Flanking you.
Yeah.
Until right before the movie starts, when Nate and I go to the back. We're going to leave two open seats for Katie.
That's our.
Is Mel coming tonight?
She is absolutely not.
I already asked that, Katie.
Yeah, we did earlier.
I mean, Miss Femme over here.
She was eating string cheese. Right. She missed it.
Giving us hell earlier for ignoring the stuff we're saying.
Yeah. Mel will not be. Mel's got to watch the kids.
I asked that question.
And unfortunately, the kids can't see Godfather.
No.
It's not good for an 8-7 year. Yeah, by
and
the way.
Now you know why I didn't show up drunk to your house to see your family.
That's
on
actually, again, another good reason why I was fine with Nate not coming over. Nate has a hard time around my kids. And
I know better.
Keeping his, like you said, I thought you said it the best in the 6 a.m. You're not house trained.
No.
And that's fine. Hey, real quick, speaking of not being house trained, we're just days before the Olympic Games. The Associated Press has done a 16-month-long study on the waterways of Rio de Janeiro.
That means River of Janeiro.
Yes, it does. Not only are 14 athletes right around there, give or take a few, at risk of getting ill in water competitions, but the AP's tests indicate that tourists also face potentially serious health risks on the golden beaches of Ipanema and Copacabana. Both
golden
parts of good songs. Right. Yes, golden for a reason. Yeah.
There was a fantastic episode of Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. The whole thing was on the Olympics, and they were talking about this issue specifically in terms of the sewage that is they don't in parts of Rio in kind of the low income parts they don't have sewage systems.
Right,
it's just so open air.
It all goes down and it goes into the water. It like travels down. It makes its way, and this is the exact same water that all the water sports are taking place in. Yeah.
So
their advice.
Nice play on words there.
Yeah.
Their advice.
There's issues. There's definite issues going on with the water. So the AP used, Katie, and Nate, and Matt George, they used America and Europe as a baseline to compare things to. And the first results of the study showed viral levels at up to 1.7 million times what would be considered worrisome in the U.S. or Europe.
That's a lot, right? I'm not so good at the math.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Not 1.7 million times of normal, of what would actually be very, very worrying.
What I heard is that number, if they found the 1. Whatever million, if they found that fraction of that at Santa Monica, they'd close the beach.
Yeah. See, because those concentrations, Nate, swimmers and athletes who ingest just 3 teaspoons of water. Are almost certain to be infected with viruses that can cause stomach and respiratory illnesses, and even more and more rarely, heart and brain inflammation. Although whether they actually get ill depends on a series of factors, including the immune system.
To these athletes.
Getting to it.
Oh, so.
So don't step on it. Thank you. You were just about to. You had your foot out, your big high heel. Since the AP released the initial tests last July, athletes have been taking elaborate precautions to prevent illnesses that could potentially knock them out of the competition, such as antibiotics, bleaching oars, and donning plastic suits and gloves in an effort to limit contact with the water. But antibiotics, unfortunately, go after bacterial infections, not viruses. The AP findings tested with cell cultures and verified with molecular biology, Nate, turned up at least nearly 90% of the test sites have viruses in over 16 months of testing. So Dr. Valerie Harwood, which is maybe her real name, says that's a very, very high percentage.
Thanks, Val.
Seeing that level of human pathogenic viruses, it's pretty much unheard of in surface waters.
Poo.
Yeah, poo. A lot of it. You would never, ever see these levels because we treat our wastewater. You just wouldn't see this. Okay, so all this is going on. The results of the 16-month Associated Press finding has Dr. Harwood giving a piece of advice for travelers to Rio, Katie.
Not even just travelers, to the people that are actually going to be competing in the water.
She says, don't put your head underwater. Don't put your head underwater.
Oh, so the one that...
I hope she's got her medical school debt paid off.
The article that I saw was advice to the competitors saying, don't open your mouth while you're in the water.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah.
That's not really the only issue we've got going on here.
No.
You.
Swimmers who don't, you know, I don't know, after swimming long distances, swimmers that, you know, I don't know, ingest 3 teaspoons of water, which, by the way...
I imagine it goes through your nose,
there's not
too.
A lot. Yeah, you think...
Can't close that off.
They stand to risk becoming, quote, violently ill. Violently ill.
Like
once in a lifetime opportunity, though, guys. Right? Compete for your country.
I was waiting for you to say that because I knew you were going to,
Oh, gosh. The most contaminated points are the Rodrigo de Freitas Lagoon, where Olympic rowing will take place, and in the Gloria Marina.
That was beautiful, Dave.
Thank you. The starting point for the sailing races. In March 2015, sampling at the lagoon revealed, well, not actually a lot here. I don't think this is a lot per liter. Now, just to give you an idea, think of a 2 liter. Okay, now cut that in half, and that's a liter. Just kind of giving everybody the visual. How many adenoviruses per liter, Nate, would you like to take a guess?
112.
112. Katie?
3 million.
Yeah, okay. How about 1.73 billion adenoviruses per liter?
No big deal.
Jeez. They're lowered now, but still 248 million. Per liter. By comparison, in California, viral readings are in the thousands per liter. If they get there, that sets off the alarms. In the thousands. We're talking about 248 million. Doesn't it, now, I don't know if the media is overhyping this or not, but to me, it sounds like we in the America.
How are you overhyping something actual scientific information?
Because the media, man, I'm telling you, there's conspiracy theories and lies and stuff.
Hey, man, have you heard of any of the locals having problems
Thank
with
you.
This?
There's
They're
the Illuminati.
They're not dumb enough to get into water.
All I know is this. It sounds like we're sending our water people into a death trap.
Yeah.
Our water people.
Yes, all of our friendly water people. Death trap.
And but, just throw some chlorine in the bay. Is that not how it works?
Something.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, what do the fish look like?
So that was my question. Like, this is where they get their food that they're serving as well. How do you?
Don't know.
What do you eat while you're there?
Yummy.
Those porta potties are going to be ridiculous.
Ugh. Oh Lord.
And meanwhile, the fish.
That's probably
are like,
what there is outside the Olympic
well,
Village.
Well, yeah, and they're just going to go dump them in the bay. They don't have anywhere to put them.
Hey, you know what? At least they're providing condoms.
Good job.
Yeah,
guys.
Thank God for that. Not even just condoms.
At a city.
But the lube as well. They're making it
God,
as easy
Katie,
as they can.
Come on.
Had to
but
go
it's
there,
true.
Didn't you?
Jeez,
had to
kids
go there.
Listening. When we get back, we'll
You're
give away.
Disgusting.
I know. What is this?
Oh, I'm the disgusting one now.
It's the drive, not the porn.
Oh.
We'll be back next with Godfather tickets right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Attaboy. Attaboy, Matt. The text line is coming through strong. From the 916.
You've been giggling
I am.
Since you got back
They're
in.
Making me laugh. From the 916, Trojan condom, safety first. That's Jim Gray in Rio.
What? Jim Gray?
From the 209, the only Olympic water sport records that are going to be broken in Rio this year are vomit and diarrhea bathroom breaks by the athletes. That's probably a fact.
Yikes.
From the 209, who needs a porta potty? Just crap in the river. Seems that that's what everyone else is doing. It's not. We laugh, but you know
it's
what? Really,
funny.
It's not funny. It's actually really sad that they have to deal. You know, the Olympic people are going to go down there, and rightfully so, I understand, turn their noses up, no pun intended. They have to live there in that river of crap that basically flows through there. From the 916, swimmers should wear pool shock tabs around their neck. Also from the 916, they need to provide body condoms like the old Naked Gun movie. Seriously, something. Golly. And from the 530, dang, Katie can make a sailor blush. By the way, if you do it right, you shouldn't need any artificial, quote, rain in the jungle. Am I right?
Rain in the
talking about your
we all know what they're talking about.
Hey,
Dave,
dude, I ain't here to judge. If you need a little help,
Come on,
we all go through
it
things.
It is the Olympics,
right?
Maybe
it's the Olympics.
Sweat
the Olympics.
It all out. Save those tears on the medal stand, ladies.
It depends. It depends if it's a marathon or a sprint on
or
what
both.
You need.
You've got a schedule. Alarm goes off at 6. 11th caller at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Sean Salisbury will join us tomorrow. By the way, Sean Salisbury will be joining us throughout the NFL season. We got a lot of people that are coming on to augment our NFL coverage throughout the year that we have been very...
We take football seriously.
Very much working on. Yes, yes. And it's no secret that Sean Salisbury might be my favorite guest in the whole world.
You love him, man.
I adore Sean as a guest, and he will be coming in every week to make radio magic. By the way, if you were wondering, and I'm sure you were, where Reggie Bush was going to play this year.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, it sounds like he will be suiting up for the Buffalo Bills.
All right.
Yeah, Reggie. Reggie in Buffalo.
What a shame.
Working for old Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Boy, Reg.
What a shame that he couldn't be what he was in college. But, you know, this always gets brought up. But, like, the Texans still don't regret that, right? Taking Mario Williams first.
No. But Charlie Casserly's career got derailed because of it, because everybody thought he was the biggest moron in the world. Taking Mario over Reggie Bush. Well, look who's laughing now. The hand's on the other shoe, isn't it?
The Bills.
It always works out that way.
Cam Newton showed up to camp with a blonde goatee, and he explained why he showed up with a blonde goatee. Well, there you go.
Who's he talking about? One of his teammates?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to say Kelvin Benjamin. Not Kelvin Benjamin. Who's the guy who's hurt that's coming back for the Panthers out of Florida State? And why am I blanking? FSU receiver. Travis Benjamin. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Did you hear the news about Charles Barkley last night?
No.
Ah.
What?
Apparently.
Go.
He's so upset with kind of the state of America that he's going to be hosting a new show on TNT called The Race Card.
Oh.
6-hour-long episode.
You say Jason Whitlock?
Charles Barkley.
Gotcha.
Barkley. Wait, it's a 6-hour show?
6-hour-long episodes. Okay. With plans to launch in early 2017, and this is what it says. NBA legend and inside the NBA analyst, Charles Barkley has had enough. The America that he knew has lost its way, becoming mired in partisan politics, social divides, and entrenched in corporate interests. Now he is. He hopes to get to the root of the problem with his new show.
I'll bet it doesn't last more than 6 episodes.
Well, hey.
That does not sound promising.
I have a feeling it will rate well, though.
I really, and that,
Charles Barkley could talk about the phone book, and it's going to rate well.
We'll see.
It's interesting.
That just seems like a really, really bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting in the sense that Chuck is entertaining, but this is a very difficult subject
to
broach.
Listen, a lot of people are, aside from the whole, like, terrible idea of giving him this, like, you're gonna make this guy a host? He can't even stay on topic when he's, like, got the best studio host in the business in Ernie Johnson.
I wonder if there's going to be, like, another person.
To
keep him on
track.
There's
no way they're asking him to host his own show.
Before we wrap up, here's Dana White, president of the UFC, talking about what happened with him after he sold the UFC. Guy's getting $400 million and still maintaining a share, and he locked himself. I feel like that wouldn't be my reaction to getting $400 million, but then again, I've never gotten $400 million. I'd like to find out if that would be my reaction.
I'm trying to think, like, there's got to be a level of shock involved, right? Where you're like, oh, man, all these things I do and I'd celebrate and XYZ, like, that seems like the type of thing that would shake you for a couple days. You know, where, like, at first, I guess it would be like anything where it starts to seep in after a couple days and not like, oh, my God, I am this rich, but like, oh, my God, my life is never going to be the same again. Now, granted, Dana White was rich as hell before this happened. But, like,
now
that's,
he's really rich.
Yeah, like, that is game-changer money.
Like, if somebody like us who aren't rich got $400 million, I know for me the most depressing thought is as soon as I saw that money in my bank, I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm going to die someday. I need more time. I got it right.
I mean, that's right. I did something.
He said he's not answering phone calls from family.
That's it. Like, you just know it's coming. I disappear.
I could text him and say, hey,
you
Dana.
Have his phone number, so maybe he'll take your call.
Hey, Dana. I've had one communication with him since I texted him, said, congratulations, you're rich. I put in parentheses. And he texted me back the emoji that's the upside down smiley face that nobody really knows what it means. And then one of like a blushing face. That was his response.
Really? What is he? 13-year-old girl?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, he is. Breaking news right now. Here's Andrew Luck on his showering habits. Okay, so there's that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Andy?
And
now
finally,
we have that clarified.
Here's Bill Belichick on Tom Brady.
The cameras.
And he finished with a nice, Jesus Christ. Are you really asking me this? By the way, I had it right. There you go. My Florida State knowledge didn't fail me. It's Kelvin Benjamin, who was hurt from the Panthers. Travis Benjamin is a receiver with Cleveland last year, now with San Diego. That's from Daniel and Arbuckle.
Jeez,
had it right.
Jeez.
I blame Nate. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 gets the very last pair of tickets we have to go see The Godfather tonight. If you already have your tickets or you're about to win them, we'll see you tonight, 6:30 p.m. Studio Movie Grill. Please don't be late. Please don't talk during the movie. And no holes cut out in the popcorn. Thank you.
And please keep your cell phones off.
Yes, thank you very much. And they'll tell you that, too. Katie will be making all those announcements before the show. For Matt George, Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen, I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League. Sports 1140 KHDK.